and on behalf of his attorneys. It was a beautiful piece of work, Rick, and I've seen you mature as a newspaper person. I've seen you mature as an investigative reporter. I really expect someday to see you win the Pulitzer Prize in journalism. I thank you. You're that good. Now, George Abbott does not know it yet. He has got more than one foot in the grave as far as it comes to his judicial career. We have George Abbott on the ropes, and he's down for the count. I can assure you that we're not going to give up on George Abbott, and within the next few weeks, we expect to stand here and tell you about the victory that we're going to attain over George Abbott. Now, back to Loretta Perry. We've also, I prepared a draft of a letter to her attorney. I've congratulated him for following our advice for the last 3 years, for showing the guts not to give in under the pressures as her other attorneys did. And I've also asked him to outline for me the possibilities of now pursuing on her behalf an action for malicious prosecution against Luke Perry and all the persons who so wrongly harassed her for the last 3 or 4 years. And I really congratulate him for standing in there and for sticking with the advice that we gave him. And that's about where it's at, Commander. I expect this little group to enjoy some enormous successes in the next year. Oh, and then I'm working on the law school thing and the classes. I have some syllabuses I'm working on and getting prepared, and we'll start talking about those in the next few days.
On the Perry ruling?
Yeah. Okay. Paul covered that last week. Yeah. But what it was basically is that Paul has talked with Perry directly. I haven't. I only have it hearsay. So, Paul, would you repeat that ruling if you can recall it? I have not had the pleasure of talking to Loretta yet.
The judge ruled dismissing the case against Luke and his siblings, against the Loretta Perry, dismissing it with prejudice, saying that they could not ever bring it into court again, that she had, it was a lawful and legal trust that she was the trustee of, that she had the right to control the trust any way she wanted, and if and when she died, if there was money left, they might get some. But until then, they had no right to grumble or complain or do anything or bring any course of action against her.
This puts him in very bad stead because he's come out trying to change laws in Nevada, corporate laws. Each of these rulings that come through in that manner, each time a corporation structure done properly holds its privacy and its position in the court of law, you win. Even if you're ruled against in some instances, if your paperwork, if everything that you have done is honorably done, meticulously done, it should hold. And this is a celebration of freedom. Yes, a lot of people can benefit from misuse. And that's why such structures are originally made, not for the good of mankind, but for the protection of some of the rats running about your place. But they are legal procedures. They are lawful procedures. They certainly are not against the laws of God for you to try to manage your business and hold on to some of your assets and function in your life in a reasonable manner. So why would you not use the laws? Now, where you have the problem, and this is going to discuss just a little bit, and I think we have time to do this, and then I'm not going to drag it on. But you're going to come to find, when you start researching the Bar Association and what happened, what in the world happened and when, you're going to find it wasn't until about the late 1930s, mid to late 1930s, that it became a requirement that you be a member of the Bar Association. And at that time, it was sort of just merged in with the American Bar Association and the State Bar. And then it evolved that now you've got a requirement that you've got to be a member of the Bar Association in good standing, or you can't go in and practice law in the court. So they've got total control of all the lawyers. You see, you have to be a law, American Bar Association accredited school, to even be eligible for taking the bar exam. And then they can still take this further and decide whether or not you pass the bar. This is wrong. Lawyers are supposed to present the client, no matter who it is. If it's the state, fine. But they're not supposed to make law. They basically are not even supposed to interpret it. But what do? How do you fight a case anymore? You go and gather up all the bad rulings from God only knows when, and that becomes law. And the judge sitting up there who made this bad law to start with is going to rule, of course, with it, and so will every other judge. Do you think that Gary Ween is popular for having pointed out that these must be, by law, elected judges or not? That doesn't make them happy, and it doesn't make them happy having to struggle along with a case with anyone who knows Gary Ween, especially troublemakers like the Eckers who have simply tried to hang on to their property. So it is a nasty snowball. The Supreme Court and the lawyers and the judges of the land are supposed to interpret law, not plea bargain. I love that. You go murder somebody, but you plea bargain reckless driving. Now, isn't that great? That's where you've reduced yourselves to being. It doesn't matter that they didn't hold a sale in the Ecker property. It only matters whether or not the Eckers were at sale. Or whatever has no point to be made in the issue. And the other attorney is allowed to represent every other opponent, even if they're against each other. Justice, you don't have any. The Supreme Court of the land does not make law. Legislation makes law. You, the people, are supposed to make the law. And so it's a whole string of events that have to take place. But this Bar Association problem is what has destroyed your courts. They don't have to do anything. They are God in the courtroom. And it's going to take somebody who's outside of that system, mad enough, daring enough, and doesn't have to depend on the rest of his life to get support from that system to pull it down. And I think we've got one who can make good inroads. Because we'll all go do research, and you're not going to find better research than Nora Boyles. And now you're not going to find better research than Karen and Rick, because we have a personal interest. And there's a lot to be said for a person to go represent himself, where a lawyer won't even notice a ruling that came down from the municipal court over here where the judge misspoke and put plaintiff instead of defendant. And then when it read incorrectly later, the lawyer goes in there and changes it. Well, obviously the judge meant what he didn't say. But in a court of law, what he said in that order should stand and hold. And then when there is a rebuttal, guess what they do? They go in and change all the records or destroy them or simply call another hearing without the victim. It is wrong. And no, just one cannot make it right. But when you have enough it'll begin to make its little inroads. And I'm pleased. I know that it seems an eternity to you, but look what you have accomplished in less than a decade. It has taken them years and years and years to destroy you. And destruction always comes faster than building. But you've hung in here. They have not been able to just wipe you away. And believe me, they have tried. And it gets to you. Personally, it gets to you. You get sick and tired of being offended. Names hurt. They may not damage you greatly, but they hurt. And if you can be hurt enough, maybe you'll slink away, pull down the curtain, and roll over dead. Not lucky enough in here, people. Forget it. You're just not going to be lucky enough to get away with it. And to come into my presence, where we are struggling for recognition and credibility, and try to get away with some of the things that have happened, is unacceptable. And when I told you several weeks ago it would not go unconfronted any longer, I meant it. And therefore, each thing from now on will not be name-calling. It will be actual visual. It'll, just like Jean said, I will bring a blackboard and we'll play the tape. And you see, Jean, you don't know what strength was fed into my scribe. Just by one statement, trying to dump 400 corporations on her head, and the judge says, that is irrelevant. That is a newspaper article with no credibility. Because the opposition plays dirty. Accusatory. Law, justice, righteousness has nothing to do with it, and then they will set themselves up as a constitutional attorney and born-again Christian, and I'm sick of it. I am sick of Christ being the target. I believe when you look at Rick's work, you will assume somewhere in there Sananda is pretty damn smart. Quit saying you're praying to God if you don't mean it. Because if you mean it, you're going to get the help you need. And it rarely will look what like what you expected. But I'm telling you, some enemies are going to fall. And I don't have to shoot them. I may tell you where to aim. But you see, I don't have the same problems that you have. You've got to deal with what they have told you is wrong to protect themselves against you. And it works. It's worked for a zillion years. Why should they change? In fact, I think if Jack would do that, I believe that maybe we could play that tape. And then maybe we can let you discuss what you'd like to, and I can either come back or I can just sit with you. I think it's important. I think it's important that we spend time together. I need it and you need it.
You referred to which tape?
Well, the one regarding Rod first, because you need the witnesses. I'm not interested in shooting Rod Entz down. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want any part of it. But we're stuck with it. We have to answer for the equipment. We have to answer for the corporation. And no, it's not all right what has transpired. I also would appreciate it, EJ, if before you did that, since we were on quality of product, I think you've done an excellent writing, very brief, on the storage or the keeping of colloids. And I'd like him to read that and maybe explain it a little bit, and let's discuss it a bit. And I believe you'll want that in the paper. It is a prime opportunity. I'm going to repeat. We are the only ones on the face of the globe that has the products that we have. And too many incredible things are happening out there. It is like a washover. Many sat and witnessed Princeton damn near drop dead. And in 4 hours, he was back on his feet and able to come to work in the morning. That is a miracle. And yet it's an answerable miracle. So why don't you read that first, and then we'll move into this. And I'm going to just take leave now. And when you get done and have a break and so forth, then we'll come back and consider what we're going to do. So thank you.
Thank you, Commander.
It started.
The child got a sore throat and went into pneumonia. It was taken to the hospital where it died.
It's happening.
I'll repeat that just briefly. In Santa Barbara, Laurie reports that a 20-month-old child died of flu. So it's, as the commander said, it started. I did a little writing that the commander asked me to read. It's called Colloid Production Information. I am remiss for not having passed this information on to you readers sooner. For that I apologize. Toward the end of the Gaia Gold, a Gaia Call Oxysol sale, one of our Canadian friends placed quite a large order and mentioned this to me on the telephone. When I remarked that that represented quite a sizable investment, she responded, "Yes, and that's exactly what it is, an investment. I've been thinking about what you said the first time I called you about loaning money to the Institute, and you suggested that we have some supplies, plus some coins, to use should the paper currencies collapse, before we considered loaning money to the Institute. Well, it has occurred to me that a store of the colloids is probably more valuable and a better way to store value for barter than coins. In ordinary times, if the price of gold and silver goes up, so will the value of the colloids. And if things get really bad, the colloids could become invaluable. We have hesitated to print the myriad of amazing reports of the effects of these products when backed up by the use of Giandriana and Aquagia and Spelta, both from the local crew and out there in Readerland. But if only 1/10 of them were true, we are witnessing miracles every day. Doris and I take this opportunity to wish you all a healthy and happy holiday."
Would you turn this off and let me come down there, please?
Just to give a little background on what this is, Thursday afternoon we got word that Rod was loading up a bunch of the farm equipment to be sold or at least shipped out of the area. And we decided to go document it on videotape, and got kind of an interesting reaction from Mr. Enns. So that's basically what this is.
Organic, well, probably now in the United States, organic growing operation. I think that Carol, with what did she call it, Harvest Dawn or something like that, was large on the eastern side of the Mississippi. But this Cal Farms, Cal Organic, is the biggest organic grower, and Prell is a partner in that, and it's Mr. Prell who came down and said, we all wondered how long you were going to put up with this. And he has offered to come and plow our fields for us after some rain, you know, so he can help get the weeds under control. Part of it is for his own good, because those weeds blow seeds, rye and everything, off into his fields. And once the farm land is brought back up to usability, he can swap off land so that we can swap off crops. So it's to his advantage, and he got caught really in the middle of this. And I understand he was so embarrassed and everything that he just turned and left and said, I have nothing to do with this. Because Rod had brought down the equipment that he had stored up on public land, on an easement, and he brought it down through easements to Prell's property, obviously without permission to do that. So Prell was really caught in the middle. And some of the equipment is still sitting on that farm, but some is still sitting up on the side of the road under a tree where he first moved it. And I'm appalled to see that, because that's a large tractor and their goal are plows. That even if we had another tractor, we would be able to use the plows. He has gotten rid of all the disc equipment. And along with that, I don't know what he's done with it, but he has either sold or taken Bob Turner's disc setup. And so I don't know, Gene, where are we with this? Where is Gene?
Right here.
I'm just curious to what, you know, I feel so sensitive about the whole thing, because it's so unimaginable to me that we would be faced with this. And EJ did, as a person in the institute, send him what I considered a business-like, beautiful letter. All we want is just the stuff back, and let's come to an agreement, an arrangement, whatever needs to be done to settle this. And he's got all the nuts and bolts and small repair things that Charles had been storing out there against need, and we need it. And I just don't think people really understand, and I don't see that it's our responsibility. On the other hand, whose responsibility is it? And I'm not big enough anymore to take these kinds of responsibilities and shoulder them by myself, especially while I'm also getting shot at.
Doris, I'm going to be here full time for the better part of this next week, and that's one of my number one targets, is to try to
meet with Rod and just find out where he's at, where he's coming from, why these things are happening like this. I did enjoy a pretty good relationship with him for the better part of 3 years out there. I felt like I was pretty much of the family, so I have to meet with Rod and see what's been happening and why this has been, what's caused all this. And I will do that starting first thing tomorrow morning.
Well, I know that I really appreciate that. I just think everybody in here has got to understand that when you walk off with $25,000, it hurts us. It just hurts us. That's all there is. In every way.
Why don't we have our break now, and then we'll gather around and see some fantastic movies of the UFOs in Nazi land in the late 1930s.
And everybody, please enjoy Marilyn's flowers.
Mark.
End has come.
We need to for people out of
build your bridge.
Well, excuse me just a minute, Commander. This is EJ. We have just viewed a video called Secrets of the Third Reich, which was sent to us by Vladimir. And now the Commander has decided to do some talking about it. Thank you, Commander.
One reason that I'm interested in Gene is that it becomes mandatory that you people get your hands on our books. Every flying machine that was mentioned on this, we wrote about in those first 25 journals. And for them to be sitting hostage, unable to be reprinted, and 50 new journals sitting waiting for the printer and indexing is really quite unthinkable. While the world is speeding up past the speed of sound and light. I'm just dropping that on your head as the first bomb of the moment. The Anunnaki came, and they're good guys. When they speak of these systems, solar systems, etc., you are talking about the rather dark energies, but not necessarily dark energies, coming from the outer cosmic reaches. Just as you have good and bad, if that's what you want to call it, on this planet, so too are other physically inhabited planets going through their same evolvements at some level or another. You will notice from the mediums that were used, especially the blonde, she will be almost a dead ringer for Ascot. Some of these are almost robotic beings. They're no more medium than is Dorma. And there is no reason that she would be writing an ancient Sumerian text unless it was supplied to her. Sumer will have the ancient histories of the beginnings of your planet as far as life and civilization are concerned. But don't get hung up in that, because if you do, you'll go out into the wrong directions, and these are not the directions in which the New World Order wants to pull you, except in fear. I'm not interested in the little flying toys. Those work on a gyroscopic principle, electromagnetic waves and frequencies. But get with the program now, because you've got a grid that can be turned on and you can cross wire. And that opens up current waves on which all discs can travel. And I say discs because that is your concept. These, all they have to do is just sit there, and they're fed energy from these currents. It is the wind beneath their wings, so to speak. And you will have a gyroscopic principle holding you into a stable position. And then you have all the mechanisms necessary for uprightness. You know, the silly nonsense they show you about weightlessness is stupid. That is ridiculous. How in the world can you work while you're floating around? This is unthinkable. And therefore, you have to know that both the reality of the visitors or the inventions is real, present, and can be very dangerous. But who is it dangerous to? I suppose grammatically it would be, to whom do you think it's dangerous? You're going to find that whatever they're calling these planets or these systems will vary from nation to nation. The reason this becomes interesting is because of the reason that you will have Pleiadians and Tau Universians in the area of Munich, Hinderschmidt-Rudi, these places where documentation has been made of these craft. That does not mean they're alien. It does mean that that's where you are going to find alien craft coming and going, because they're patterned after them. Askit was from the Tau universe. So she is a Dalion. That does not mean that she is a Pleiadian. The Pleiadians are an appointed race that basically are the reflection of you. And I have to clarify that a little bit farther. In areas of the Pleiades, it's more important than that. That is your lineage in goodness. In each structured encounter with the, you call them aliens, I call you aliens. But you see, you are created aliens by the higher universal beings in whose company I travel. You are the experiment, if you will. We are the experimentors. But it isn't quite that simple, because in every game, in every structured play, you have the plot and you have the limitations or the rules. Bird did go to the Antarctic. And he went down with an invasion force, because that's exactly where Adolf Hitler went, with all those craft, with all those secrets. And it was a functional army that Hitler went with. What do I think of Hitler? I don't think about him. He was neither as evil as he has been proclaimed to be, nor was he good. He got usurped into the Thulean religion, the orders, the occult. And remembering that the occult is simply that which is unknown, it does not necessarily mean that it's terrible. So we have to look at the Germans during that period of time when you are trying to balance what you think about flying craft, aliens. And I think you will note that those are very typical craft, and we wrote about them extensively early on. And you bet they're real. To the extent that they have now been perfected to the point that there is no way you as an Earthian can know the difference. And any time you have craft that are not giving out radiation or heat, you have a serious jump ahead in technology when they can ride those grid currents And since you were not the first to put in those grid currents, think about it very carefully because you are disadvantaged. Your nation's disadvantaged. You have been taken over by the Khazarian Cretans. Cretan meaning just about as bad a barbarian as I can possibly conjure. And those two are at war. So where do we fit?
Which two, Commander?
This group that would come up with the... this group you just saw.
The Third Reich group?
The typical of this dark order.
Okay.
You have two extremes. You have the dark order that has nothing to do with Khazarianism per se, trying to wipe out the Khazarians. And the Khazarian group trying to search for control through what they're calling Zionism. Both looking for a new world order. Both out basically to destroy. Destroy all semblance of good. So where do we fit? Well, I think it begins to be pretty obvious where we fit. We're not going to do anything to basically get into it as far as we're going to go shoot those bad guys down or these bad guys down. No, thank you. Enough will be evolving that God's hosts will not involve themselves with it other than informing you. And no, we don't run around in these funny little shuttlecraft as such. We have them, yes. And there is a reason to have them. Our propulsion system is so far advanced of either of these types of systems that it's a game with us. Some of you like your antique cars. We'll give you whatever you think you want. Ours is thought transmission. You've outgrown the playground. And you may as well get ready for it. Because where you are going to function is in that higher frequency beyond these two clashing dragons. But you have to know what exists already, or you're not going to be able to understand any part of the mission as it advances.
Commander?
Yes.
Where do the cosmospheres and the Russian military fit in all this?
I'm not going to explain that very carefully, Brent, because whatever you know now becomes dangerous to you. The cosmospheres were created and developed by what we will call the White Russians, the Christian Russians. And they still hold supremacy. And they get along very, very well in the order of the cosmos. They do not overstep their order. They're still kindergarten as far as capability and cosmic brotherhood. And they will maintain some kind of order between these clashing giants. So I consider them your, limited your, friend. Because remember, the enemy of your government is not necessarily the enemy of you. You choose that. And you can live very comfortably, very nicely, as long as you don't get into the fray with them. There is an order that is established in the universal cosmic order of evolvement. And there are some things that the enemy is not allowed to do. That does not mean that in a free will environment, they're going to stick to that, because on Earth, nobody sticks to his word. Except us. I stick to my word 100%. And a lot are coming to realize that, and they object. You just saw it. Why would any earth man confront me, as even Rod has? Does that make him a big deal? No, it makes him a stupid fool. A stupid fool. It proves to all of you that these are searching people, searching out little niches here and there in their little communal type of expression. Let me be a big fish in this little pond. No, I happen to be a big fish in a very, very big pond. And my idea is not to come along and eat all the little fishlets. I don't even care for fish. But I have a mission. And we are going to attract, in the beginning, those ones that are just haphazardly experiencing. They are not on the dark side per se, although they will join the dark side readily to get what they think they want, because they don't know even what they want. And so they do foolish things. They will not bother to learn. And that is the first error. If you will not bother to learn, you're going to get caught in the trap and you will get smashed. Because I will not extricate you from that trap when you demand to be in it. On the other hand, it makes your life a lot more simple if you just follow some expectation. I don't even call it requirement. You have to be available if there is need for you, because that's what you agreed to do. And we, as your elder brothers, have accepted that as a commitment. And we've got to weed out the ones who are not going to keep any form of their commitments. And it's painful. And it will get more painful, because there will not be these kinds of explanations. They'll just go. They'll just go. As we get farther into what you're going to call unreality, I'm going to tell you is the reality